When there's a talk during meditation, don't focus your attention on the talk. Focus on your breath. The purpose of the talk is to act like a fence, to catch you when you wander away from the breath, to keep pointing you back to the breath. Because it's right at this spot where the mind and the body meet at the breath, here in the present moment. That's where your practice is. That's where you're going to see all the things you need to see and do all the things you need to do in the practice. So the talk is to help keep you here and to give you some perspective on what you're supposed to be looking for, what you're supposed to be doing. Last year, I received a phone call from someone who was doing a thesis on using Buddhist teachings and practices in the workplace. One of the things that bothered me about his questions is he would ask questions about Buddhist teachings and then he'd ask questions about Buddhist practices, as if they were two different things. But they're not. Everything is part of the practice, even the more abstract and theoretical teachings. Are meant to be used when appropriate. After all, right view is the first part of the path. It's something to be done. It's something to be applied. And then when it's done its work, you let it go. Right view comes down to the Four Noble Truths. And the Four Noble Truths are based on one of the Buddha's really categorical teachings. He says, across the board, you want to abandon unskillful behavior and do only things that are skillful. In other words, we're working on a skill here. It's the things we do physically, with our words, and with our thoughts. All these things count as karma, and they all have results. There's no such thing as idle thinking. I mean, it may be idle, but it actually has an impact on the mind. It's something you're doing. Just like Buddha discouraged idle speech, he also discourages idle thinking. So learn how to look at your thoughts in terms of what they do, the results they have in the mind. Buddha himself said that he got on the right path when he started dividing his thoughts into these two types. Thinking that was harmful and thinking that was harmless. And then based on that distinction, the rest of the path grew. Now, there are a lot of issues floating around in India at the time that most of the philosophers got worked up about. The nature of the world, the nature of the self. But the Buddha didn't answer those questions. In fact, some people were frustrated because they couldn't get a clear answer out of him on what they thought were the big issues. They mentioned this to one of his lay followers one time and said, this Buddha you have, he's a nihilist, doesn't teach anything at all. The man said, no, that's not true. He teaches what's skillful, he teaches what's not skillful. And afterwards he went and reported this to the Buddha, and the Buddha praised him. He said, that's the right answer, the right way to deal with those people. When the Buddha was critical of other teachers, it was over this issue of their inability to explain, one, what is skillful or unskillful, or two, to provide an understanding of why it's important to act in a skillful way and to avoid unskillful behavior. So this is what we're here for, is to develop a sense of skill with the mind. And even with skillful thinking, he said, there's times when you have to let the mind rest, so you bring it into concentration. It's another factor of the path. In fact, it's one of the central ones. There's a passage where the Buddha talks about the eight factors of the path and says the other seven factors are aids, requisites to right concentration. Right concentration is the important one. It's the first factor of the path that the Buddha himself discovered. So that's what we work on. And then we bring the other elements in as they're needed. So learn how to get the mind in a state of contentment with the breath, staying right here. Now there'll be a tendency of the mind to want to think and evaluate, so use it to think and evaluate the breath. How does the breathing feel? Where do you feel it? How many layers of breath energy are there in the body? When you breathe in, what's happening in the different parts of the body? When you breathe out, what's happening? Do you notice places where you tend to hold on or to force the breath or to squeeze the breath in an uncomfortable way? Well, can you learn to breathe in a way that doesn't do that holding or forcing or squeezing? That's taking the question of skillfulness and applying it right here, right now. How can you skillfully relate to the breath so that it's easier to stay with? So that staying with the breath does induce a sense of ease, fullness. And as you begin to feel that ease and fullness, at the beginning it may feel like simply a neutral sensation. There's nothing painful, but nothing especially outstandingly pleasant. But just protect that neutral feeling for a while, and you begin to see that it does get more and more intense, more and more pleasurable. Then think of it seeping easily throughout the different parts of the body. If there's any place where there's a sense of blockage, allow it to open up. If you feel like there's a blank space, some part in the body you can't account for, say where your hips are, well, try to approach from the back down to the hips and from the legs up into the hips to see where the connection is. There's lots you can do to make the breath interesting. It is an interesting phenomenon, this breath energy in the body. This is how we live. This is how we move around. Without the breath, we'd be dead. It animates the whole body. It's the connection between the mind and the body. So it's good to explore. And as you explore the breath in this way, you're getting some basic hands-on practice with the Four Noble Truths. Where is there stress? What's causing the stress? Stress can be caused either by ignorance or by craving. So as we get to know more and more about the breath, we're doing away with ignorance around the breathing process. And then you notice you may have some subtle craving. You may prefer the in-breath to the out-breath. Or there may be some ways of forcing the breath sensations you've gotten used to that you like, that you keep forcing onto the breath. And then ultimately they create stress and problems. So you're beginning to see some of the causes of stress right here in the present moment, simply in the way you breathe. As you let the mind get settled down, you're developing the path. It's important to use these Four Noble Truths as a framework because they help give you an idea of what you need to do. That's why the Buddha set them out as right view, because each of them involves a task. Stress is to be comprehended. In other words, look at it so that you really understand it. So you stop identifying with it as happening to you and see it simply as an event that's connected with movements in the mind. When you see the movements of the mind that cause the stress, then you abandon them. And it's important to be clear about that. You don't abandon the stress right yet. It's like coming into the kitchen and seeing that there's smoke. The first thing you do is go to the stove to turn off the flame, turn off the power either to the oven or the stove. In other words, you don't try to put out the smoke, you put out the flame. Here the flame is the craving, the ignorance. So those are the things you want to abandon. Once the flame is out, then the smoke will dissipate. and you're knowing what to do and doing it, that's the path. And you want to develop that because your knowledge of the path will get more and more precise, more and more subtle as you work with it. So ultimately you can begin to realize for yourself what the ending of stress is like. So these categories are here not to talk about or not to think about, unless the thinking has to do with how you're suffering right now and how you might apply the categories to what you're doing so you get a good sense of what to do. There's a story about Chokun Noh, who's a famous meditation monk in Bangkok. One night he was doing walking meditation. This young monk came running up to him and he said, "I've been thinking all day and I can't stop thinking." Chokun Noh looked at him and says, "Well, you're doing the wrong task." That's all he said. But the young monk had enough knowledge about the Four Noble Truths to realize, oh, I should be developing the path. What I've been doing is developing the cause of suffering, working at that. That was enough to bring him to his senses. And John Fuyong talks about how one time he was sick with a headache, a chronic headache that would last for days on end. It got so bad that they'd actually have monks staying in his room at night in case he woke up in pain. One night he woke up in the middle of the night, and as he got up, he looked around him, and all the monks who were supposed to be looking out after him, they were all asleep. He said to himself, "Who's looking after whom here?" He said, "Well, as long as I'm awake, I might as well meditate." So he sat in meditation, and as he was looking at the pain, he suddenly realized he'd been doing the wrong thing. He'd been trying to get rid of the pain when he realized the pain was something to comprehend. And that proved to be a real turning point in his practice. So the categories are here to help you to realize what you should do and to catch yourself if you're applying the wrong thing, if you're trying to let go of good things and trying to develop unskillful things. If you can catch yourself doing that, then you can switch around. Ultimately, your appreciation of these categories get so subtle, so refined, that as John Munn says, they all become one, i.e. they finally get to the point where there's just one task, and that's letting go totally. Because after you've dealt with the blatant forms of stress, let go of the causes, you begin to realize the only thing that's left is the path doing its work. The only stress that's still in the mind is the path. Because there is a subtle level of stress that keeps concentration going. In other words, even the path is stress, the cause of stress, and so you let go of it. And as for the cessation of stress, there are passages in the canon that talk about how people touch the deathless and yet develop a passion for it. That passion for the deathless, that then becomes their one remaining obstacle. They've got to learn how to let go of that. That's why the Buddha said all phenomena are not self. Because you hit a place in the practice where you're latching on to your experience of the deathless. You have to learn how not to identify with that. That too becomes something you let go. And when you do that, that's when you reach the ultimate end of the practice. So these Four Noble Truths are tools for getting you to that point. And they all collapse into one. So there's one duty left, the duty of letting go, all around. But until you reach that point, it's wise to keep these four categories in the back of your mind and their underlying principle, the idea of skillfulness. That we're here to develop a skill, to act skillfully, speak skillfully, and to think skillfully. You realize there really is a difference between skillful and unskillful behavior, just like there's a real difference between pleasure and pain. So you want to keep that distinction in mind, to remind yourself that everything that the Buddha taught was meant to be used as part of a tool on the path at one point or another. Sometimes some teachings may not be right for you right now. As the Buddha said, the questions have to be evaluated. Teachings have to be evaluated as whether they're true or false. Then even if they're true, you want only things that are beneficial. And even if it's true and beneficial, you have to look for the right time and right place. So you want to apply that thought to your thinking. Are these things true? Are they beneficial? And is this the right time and place for that thinking? If it's not, you just let it go. Like right now, this is the right time and place to stay focused on the breath. Bring all your attention to how you can get the mind to settle down here. And so long as that skill hasn't been mastered yet, that should be your top priority. Other issues can wait.